The Escape Pod. Let's go on a trip through time to see what tomorrow looked like yesterday.
Preparing escape pod for war.
Today was yesterday's tomorrow. Where we are now used to be the unimaginable future. And today's outdated entertainment used to be yesterday's state of the art.
Power.
Sifting through science fact and science fiction, from outdated technology to the birth of the future. Let's get away from it all for a few minutes by going back the way we came in the logbook.com's Escape Pod. I'm Earl Green, and I'll be your guide through the fantastic, the futuristic, and the unmistakably geeky. This is what tomorrow looked like yesterday. On this day in 1981, Voyager 2 made its closest approach to the planet Saturn, studying the ringed planet and its moons as it borrowed a little gravity assist to ensure it could reach its next target, the planet Uranus, in 1986. But there was a problem. Overuse of Voyager 2's movable scan platform containing its cameras and several other scientific instruments was becoming stuck. If any pictures of Uranus and Neptune were going to be taken, NASA engineers had less than 5 years to figure out a fix.
This whole thing is the scan platform that we're dealing with. It moves in two directions. This is the azimuth direction, and that's the direction of rotation where we're having a problem, where it appeared to get stuck during the occultation time period. It also moves in elevation, and that direction appears to move without any difficulty and move properly. So we are investigating with these tests the movement of the scan platform.
Obviously, the kinks were worked out because in the wee hours of the morning on this day in 1989, Voyager 2 made its last visit to a body in the solar system, taking unprecedented pictures of Triton, the largest moon of Neptune. As Voyager 2 snapped its photos, something on the surface of Triton was releasing a black plume high into the moon's tenuous atmosphere, evidence of cryovolcanism likely caused by tidal forces, since Triton orbits Neptune at a close distance. Voyager 2 found very few signs of craters on Triton, meaning that the moon has rewritten its own surface repeatedly. Speaking of eruptions, in 1883, a volcanic eruption near Indonesia created the loudest sound in recorded history as the volcanic island of Krakatoa wiped itself off the map in a colossal explosion that could be heard over 2,000 miles away. The amount of ash and other debris hurled into the atmosphere brought down temperatures worldwide for years. A new volcano, Anak Krakatoa, which translates to the Child of Krakatoa, has since risen from the seafloor in the same spot. Geologists estimate that the ear-shattering final explosion at Krakatoa released more energy than the biggest man-made nuclear explosives. In 1974, a flight to a space station led to a mission failure. Soyuz 15 was meant to dock at Salyut 3, but its automated docking system failed and the cosmonauts were unable to achieve a manual docking. Nervous about the amount of fuel that had already been used up, Soviet ground controllers recalled Soyuz 15 to Earth after only 2 days for the crew's safety. In a world where a voiceover master was needed, Don LaFontaine was born on this day in 1940. He went on to voice 5,000 movie trailers. Stephen Greif, the first actor to play the obsessed villain Travis on Blake 7, was born today in 1944.
Is this all the information we have on Blake?
I checked with intelligence personally. It's all there.
Look, from what we already know about Blake's ship, it's vastly superior to anything we've got. If I understand even a reasonable chance of taking him, I need those 3 high-range pursuit ships.
I read all the reports, of course, but none of them said what happened. None of them explained about your face.
What about my face?
It was patched up by a field medic.
Man saved my life.
But why did you never let the surgeons finish the job?
What are you suggesting? Cosmetic surgery? I'm a field officer, not one of your decorative staff men.
You're certainly not decorative.
Byron Lawson, a Canadian actor who appeared in the 1996 Doctor Who TV movie and in the series Jeremiah, was born in 1968. Mike Coulter, star of Marvel's Luke Cage on TV, was born in 1976. Chris Pine, Captain James T. Kirk version 2.0, was born in 1980.
Alert Medical Beta, prepare to receive all crew members from the damaged ship.
Our ship is being hit. Shields at 60%.
I understand.
So should we, I don't know, fire back?
No.
Of course not.
Armed photons, prepare to fire on the Klingon warbirds.
Yes, sir.
Jim, their shields are still up.
Are they?
No, they're not.
Fire on all enemy ships. One photon each to do. Let's not waste ammunition.
Target locked and acquired on all warbirds. Firing.
All ships destroyed, Captain.
Begin rescue of the stranded crew. So, we've managed to eliminate all enemy ships. No one on board was injured, and the successful rescue of the Kobayashi Maru crew is underway.
How the hell did that kid beat your test?
On this day in 1930, actor Lon Chaney Sr. died. He starred in the 1920s movie versions of The Hunchback of Notre Dame and The Phantom of the Opera. Pilot Charles Lindbergh, the first man to fly solo across the Atlantic, died on this day in 1974. Animation pioneer Tex Avery, one of the creators of Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck, died in 1980. And in 2002, the journey was over as the TNT live-action series based on the indie comic Witchblade came to an end.
This is where the real battle is fought. And you have lost.
Where are we?
My domain. A place where there is no difference between warriors of the world and warriors of the sword. Here, they are one and the same. And here you, who are neither, are not protected by anything.
You can read about these events and many more on thelogbook.com's ever-evolving timeline of geek history. Thelogbook.com's podcasts and video productions are entirely listener, viewer, and reader-supported, and there's more than just the escape pod. There's Retrogram, where you pick a week between 1970 and 1990 to reassess all of that week's sci-fi, horror, superhero, and fantasy shows. There's Select Game, Expanded Memories of the Odyssey 2, covering one of the great overlooked classic video game systems. There are the frequent Phosphor.Fossils YouTube videos, each one revisiting classic arcade, computer, and home video games from the 70s through the 90s. And there are the Logbook.com's original books and ebooks, and much more. You can find ebooks and anything you might want from online vendors such as Amazon or eBay at thelogbook.com/store. There are original designs on everything from t-shirts to socks to shower curtains to non-medical grade face masks at thelogbook.redbubble.com. You can support The Logbook on an ongoing basis at patreon.com/thelogbook or at Ko-fi, that's ko-fi.com/thelogbook. You can also help us out by subscribing to CBS All Access or Amazon Prime through the ads you'll find on nearly any page of thelogbook.com. Thanks for listening to The Escape Pod.
Commencing escape pod landing prone secret. The Logbook.com escape pod was written and produced by Earl Green. Music by Gus Adolkey.